John chapter 6, verses 22 to 51. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread of life that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world."
But why don't we, before we start, I think it'd be great to pray, wouldn't it, before we start today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that in your word we read that Jesus is the bread of life, the one that satisfies more than anything else, the one that fully satisfies. I pray today as we look at your word that we would know him as the one that satisfies us completely. Amen. Well, a few years ago, the Office of National Statistics did a survey on how satisfied the British were with life. And whilst work and other finances and things like that offered the usual worries, most Britons were satisfied with life. In particular, their families, their relationships, their health and homes were very satisfying. Well, I wonder what a survey might look like or say of you and me. Or for Christians, our prayers might reveal the answer, asking God to meet this need or that need. Some really trivial, some really not. but we're sure that if he does answer that, we'd be satisfied. Well, in our passage, Jesus doesn't dismiss our longings, but he suggests he offers true and lasting satisfaction by meeting our greatest need. This conversation in John 6 comes soon after Jesus has fed over 5,000 people with a little boy's packed lunch, and he's walked on water. All echoes of God saving his people in Exodus. And it's written that we'd understand that Jesus alone can satisfy us, because Jesus alone can save us. Some of the themes in these verses we'll look at from chapter 17 in 4 weeks' time. But today we'll focus on how the passage explains verse 35, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So there should be a slide up on the screen that says, "Bread that satisfies more than seconds." I know it's a bit trite, but you get the idea. After those two miracles, the crowds are desperate to find Jesus. Verse 24, they hopped in their boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And when they found him on the other side, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" But Jesus cuts to the chase in verse 26. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you're looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." They saw the sign, but not its significance. Jesus says, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." Don't think that all you need is a full tummy. John chapter 6, 22 to 51, "I am Jesus, the bread of life." Don't think all you need is a full tummy, that life will satisfy if all your concerns are met. Making friends, passing exams, finding a career, having a family, owning a property, retiring in comfort. None of these sinful, but temporary. Jesus satisfies because he's food that it sustains for eternal life. The comic actor Jim Carrey once said, "I wish everyone could get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so that you can see that it's not the answer." The crowds wanted more. Jesus is bread that satisfies more than seconds. I wonder if we know that in our heads, well, we know that in our heads, but not in our hearts. So we look to other things to satisfy, and we place enormous pressure on education, employment, relationships, marriages, children, health, possessions. Somehow I always need more or a change or an upgrade. So we've noticed our prayers often default to requests. It's like this crowd, asking God to simply satisfy me with things that aren't always silly, but they have a short shelf life, when Jesus offers food that endures to eternal life. The more we eat his food, so to speak, the more our lives and priorities, where our time goes, our money goes, will look different to our friends. Because our timeline is eternal. We don't need the midlife crisis Porsche or end-of-life bucket list. Or less flippantly, the unsatisfied longings of life. You'll have yours as I have mine. We can do without them because Jesus offers life that endures. So parents, what food do we teach our children to work for? Where are we telling them they'll find true satisfaction? Are our homes so full of homework and clubs and sports and life admin that we'll enjoy family Bible and prayer if there's time? Are we filling them with so many things that won't satisfy that they don't long for the one who does? So often I worry more about the food for their stomachs than the food for their souls. We need life with Jesus. He's bread that satisfies more than seconds. And wonderfully, he's bread that's given, not earned. He's bread that's given, not earned. The crowds reply to Jesus, verse 28, what must we do to the works God requires? What must we do to do these works? Jesus answered, verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he sent. They hear the word work and ask for their annual targets. They're rather confident that whatever God requires, they can do. And Jesus says they must simply believe. Believe is a word used 98 times in John's Gospel, and it's not like Peter Pan's I believe in fairies, but means considering something true and trustworthy. Believe isn't a work for Jesus, but a response to Jesus. And so the crowds ask in verse 30, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? What work will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. Our man Moses fed our ancestors in the wilderness to keep them alive. What will you do to earn our trust, Jesus? Remember, he's just fed over 5,000 people with little more than a Tesco meal deal. And so rather than another sign, Jesus explains the significance of both signs. Verse 32, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Surely said, always give us this bread. John 6, 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The manna from Moses to them then was but a hint of all that Jesus offers the world now. Their ancestors needed to depend on and trust God to provide bread to physically live each day. But it pointed to a moment in history when the same God would provide not just more bread for people for more days, but the bread that whoever depends and trusts would spiritually live forever. Eating this bread, trusting this Jesus, is to be eternally satisfied. And wonderfully, he's given, not earned. Well, Johnny won't mind me saying he recently celebrated a more significant birthday and hopefully enjoyed some significant gifts. And it'd be a strange thing indeed if Johnny opened the gift you'd given him and asked, what do I owe you? We'd be forgiven for thinking that thank you is the standard response. Jesus says, I'm given as the bread of life. And all we're to do is receive, trust, believe. He's given, not earned. Everything else that we seek to satisfy us, we earn to make it ours. Sometimes we get it. But the satisfaction shelf life always runs out. Whatever or whoever it was we long for. And so we work for more. It's exhausting, isn't it? But Jesus offers eternal life, doing the saving work he came to do, dying the death we deserve to offer the life we don't. He declares on the cross, it is finished. And it's for whoever comes and believes. Friends, if you've come and believed, have you downed tools? Your eternal life that has already been worked for, earned by Jesus. Nothing that we do now in living for him, loving his people, giving up our time, nothing, absolutely nothing earns us him. He's bread that's been given. And the more we let that sink in, the more we'll love and follow him, knowing our spiritual hunger and thirst are eternally satisfied and quenched. And boy, do I need that. Time and again, I try and top up life or try and pay for bread that is given, not earned. Finally, more briefly, Jesus is bread that's life-giving and eternally lifelong. Jesus is the bread that's life-giving and eternally lifelong. The crowd start questioning Jesus' identity, which we'll look at properly when we look at chapter 17 in 4 weeks' time. But our passage ends with just what Jesus offers. Verse 47, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." It's straightforward. The bread your ancestors ate did its job, but they still died. The bread that everyone needs to eat does its job that you won't die. Now, we know Christians still physically die. We've just said farewell to our beloved Betty. So Jesus is talking about not dying under the judgment of God. Jesus isn't bread given to us, but the bread given for us. Jesus isn't bread given to us, but the bread given for us. The flesh he'll give for the life of the world. That's the death he'll die, that whoever comes and believes might know his forgiveness and not die in God's judgment. Jesus satisfies because he saves. He alone is life-giving and eternally lifelong. Now, we've all seen the nutritional information on the packets of the food we buy. Mars bar, protein, 5% of your daily requirement. Fat, 10%, red. Carbohydrates, vitamins, minerals. We've seen those. Jesus says he's 100% of eternal life's requirement. Nothing and no one else satisfies because no one else saves. Well, as we close, is this the Jesus you speak of and long for others to know? I wonder at times if we've offered him as another bit of life's bread, not the bread of life. When successful and fulfilled friends say, "But I am satisfied with my life. I feel of just no longing or room for anything more." But of course, they're satisfied too easily. They've settled for things that will spoil and certainly won't save. That's why we're to offer the real Jesus, the bread of life, which anyone may eat and not die. Or perhaps you're someone here who isn't a Christian and recognizes that you're not satisfied either. Will you come to Jesus and receive what only he offers? Don't leave tonight without talking to Adam or another regular. Or perhaps drop Adam a line to chat over coffee. Only Jesus satisfies. Because only Jesus saves. I'm going to hand back over to Mike.